It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Bay Area, it's Steve Kerr. It's game day, Dub Nation. Mark Grandy is on the pre and post tonight. Get locked in.
Thanks for that, Coach.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm working double duty today.
Oh, wow.
And it's an 8 o'clock tip, which means post game is probably going to run up until like midnight tonight.
We go around the association.
We go around the association, both pregame and postgame.
That's the thing.
Uh-huh. Got to check on all the scores from around the league.
Absolutely. And a little bit of chit-chat.
Oh, with Tim and Tom, it's the best.
Especially when, you know, it's a win and Tom might crack one open. Or if it's a loss and he might crack one open.
Either way,
there's going to be some...
He'll crack one open.
Yeah, there's going to be some sipping and some chatting.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Grandy man is just idly sitting idly by. And you'll do it from there?
Yes. So it's an 8 o'clock game, which means Warriors Live is until 7, so I got time to scurry over there once we're off the air at 6.
Good. And is there a time where they like start kicking you out and they're sweeping up and they're like, go to the exits?
So it's funny that you ask, because sometimes we'll do pre- and post-games for Warriors from various like restaurants in Thrive City.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know we'll be out there somewhere on Thursday for the show, kind of similar to that, where they'll host you at one of those spots. And I'm actually going to be doing pregame tonight from Splash. Splash at Thrive City. You've been to Splash a number of times. And it was supposed to be that I was going to be there for postgame as well. But because I'm not going to be on the air till 11, which I believe is when they close, there's just no point in having me out there at that point because the game's going to be so late. So I'll be in Chase Center, which means no one's going to kick me out. I could hang out there till 4 a.m. if I really wanted. I'll be fine. I won't. Of course.
Right.
But I can be there all night if I really want it.
And you know, I don't use this phrase often, if ever, but it's a must win tonight. Portland has owned you. Portland's 3-0 against you.
Steph scored 48 against them and they still lost. Steph scored 38 against them and they still lost.
Yeah.
But Denny Avdija is out, Dibs.
Big.
Denny Avdija is out for the Blazers. So we'll see if the Warriors can get a win and wipe the bad taste from that Atlanta loss. My God.
Yeah.
I think Willard said it on the crossover yesterday. Willard was pretending, you know, to be the Warriors and said, thank you, 49ers.
Totally.
Because if the Niners did not do that, we would be ripping the Warriors for that performance against the Hawks. There's no doubt. Speaking of the 49ers, though, Dibs, I'm just reacting to this amazing Niners season and, you know, Steiny and Goo arguing over whether it's magical or not. And it's on a path to potentially getting there. I will say, not the season as a whole, but the job Kyle Shanahan this year has done, Dibs, has been magical. And me just thinking about that, and obviously it could take a step towards getting even more magical for Shanahan and potentially a magical run for the team if they win on Saturday versus the Seahawks. But just thinking of everything that the Niners have been through this year, and yet they find themselves in the divisional round of the NFC playoffs after having a chance to be the one seed and then winning in Philadelphia versus the defending Super Bowl champions without so many key players. You lose George Kittle in that game as well. And it just struck me this morning, Dibs, as I woke up and was thinking about the show today. How valuable is Kyle Shanahan across the entire NFL? And how we open the show and what we're going to take your calls and texts on, 888-957-9570, how far down the list of NFL individuals, that's coaches, it's players, it's general managers, do you have to go in terms of ranking the most valuable individuals? How far down that list do you have to go until you get to Kyle Shanahan? And I said it earlier, I'll say it again. For me, it's what I view the three best quarterbacks in the NFL. That's Josh Allen, it's Patrick Mahomes, it's Joe Burrow, and then it's Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan, what he's done for the Niners, Dibs, is offer them a cheat code. It is, we're going to be one of the best teams in the NFL, even without one of the elite quarterbacks, without an all-pro at edge rusher, without an all-pro at linebacker, right now without an all-pro at tight end. We're going to do it with a relatively no-name defense. We're going to do it with wide receiver threes and wide receiver fours. We're going to do it with a relatively unknown offensive line other than your star Hall of Fame-worthy left tackle. Only thing I need is that left tackle, an all-pro at running back who can catch balls out of the backfield, and a great defensive coordinator. But if you have me, things are going to go smoothly almost no matter what else happens. I think he is a cheat code, and what he's done this season, Dibs, has proven to me that he's way more valuable than almost everybody else in the entire NFL.
Yeah, this season, but I can't get beyond last season when your cheat code coach went 6-11 and you had your starting quarterback get hurt and you couldn't win. You had your star running back get hurt and you couldn't win. And by and large, it was a year that was kind of beset by injuries like this one was.
Yeah.
And you went 6-11. Tougher schedule, rest differential. I mentioned it during the crossover. Sure. Bad stack. You had to go to Buffalo and Green Bay. All the rest of it, we can pick and pop on the reasons this year was better and the reasons last year was worse. I think that in the NFL, it still ultimately comes down to your guys. Lucas said in our meeting, the Jimmys and Joes, as opposed to the X's and O's, the Jimmys and Joes are more important than even the mastermind Kyle Shanahan, because last year he was still as brilliant. I would argue he was as smart last year. Maybe he got a little smarter this year with a little bit more experience, but you didn't have the horses last year, and you went up against teams that you couldn't beat because your backup quarterback wasn't as good. You didn't have Christian McCaffrey, on and on and on. Ricky Pearsall was hurt. Who could have seen that coming? But Shanahan was masterful, and they went 6-11. This year he was masterful, and they went 12-5. So does that move him up the draft board? Sure, because what he did this year is really, really impressive. I'm not taking anything away from him, but still, in the NFL, ultimately, you've got to have the horses, and you also have to have the coaches. And you look at Philadelphia today, they've moved off their offensive coordinator. He hasn't been fired, but it's a classic, we're going to reassign you and demote you and kind of force you to leave, like, well, Nick Sorensen.
Yeah, exactly what I was going to say.
The Sorensen thing where it's like, yeah, you might be our special teams coordinator. You might not be. Just stick around and we'll find a spot for you.
It's like, no, this is insulting. I'm going to leave.
Yes, I'm going to leave and then maybe get run in from Dallas as well. Yeah. But that's where I will give you some credence to what you're saying, because you need both. You need talented players. Philly has it. You need great coaching. They don't have it. And the Niners have both. And that's why this year has been such a delight and such a surprise, is even when they've lost some of their high talented guys, they've still been able to win. And that is where I give Shanahan the credit that he deserves.
Yeah. And obviously, like, last year, you're right. And there's a couple of injury years that you can point to and say, well, if he was able to overcome it this year, why wasn't he able to overcome it in years past? And probably, I mean, one of the answers is, well, this year he decided it's important to go and get a backup quarterback, and that kept them afloat. And he's obviously a big part of Mac Jones' success, but you got to give credit to Mac Jones for that. Now, what is unique about Kyle Shanahan, and where this conversation, I think, you know, would lean in him being more valuable than not, is because he's also a head coach that is essentially acting as the GM as well and has so much control over personnel. So he's basically doing two jobs in one, and he's doing so much more than just calling the offensive plays. I mean, you don't survive a season like this, Dibs, if your head coach is...
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Just the offensive genius. I know he doesn't like to be called that, but that's all he does. Like, everyone points to, and we were just talking about it during the crossover, the culture that they've established here. And they've gone through some weird things, like the Ayuk thing, which they knew about in the summer, by the way. And the public did not know until whenever that was, October or November. But they survived that. There was the mini Juwan Jennings drama early in the season when he was holding out around training camp. And it didn't really impact them in any major, meaningful, negative way. No. Like, this is a head coach who not only is a master at scheming up an offense, that is an offense without a ton of talent right now other than the quarterback and the running back, against more talented defenses, and is doing, frankly, a pretty darn good job at all of that. But this is also a head coach who's in charge of the personnel decisions and in charge of setting the tone for the entire organization and providing, an atmosphere and an energy that the rest of the team picks up on and uses and leans on to get through tough moments like this.
Yeah, and I'll even take it a step further beyond that and beyond the field, where you get, after last year, you go 6-11, and Robert Saleh lost his job in New York, and he was a consultant in Green Bay with, you know, mutual friend LaFleur, and then that ends, and, you know, you talk to Saleh, and he says, yeah, Kyle, I'd love to come back, and Kyle says, well, I'm going to give you the first five picks and stuff, and you can build this defense. Because I'm sure Saleh looked at it and said, your defense is struggling right now. We need some young bodies. I know just the guys. And Kyle probably said, yeah, I'll give you the first three picks. And Saleh said, give me seven. Kyle said four. He said six. All right, you get the first five. And so The fact that you got Gus Bradley in and you've built up Clay Kubiak to now, he's a hot offensive coordinator candidate. He's probably going to get a job somewhere else and become a real OC. I know he's kind of is in name here, but
yeah, not really.
Kyle's grooming him to get that next job, and Sala will get a head coaching job now or next year. And so that to me is a part of what Shanahan does. He coaches in a way to where he attracts people like Gus Bradley, a guy who's been in the league a long time, and he might be the new defensive coordinator if Sala leaves, or he might be someone else's DC. Kyle creates an atmosphere where players can come in, he's a straight shooter, and they're going to do basically what Kyle tells them, and you're going to be able to do that. And the coaches, it's the same thing. Like, I want you to come in and coach this group and, you know, be a guy on our staff. And if you do well and we do well, then you get to move on and I'll find the next guy.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. You got the pool of all NFL individuals, players, coaches, general managers together, and you're drafting. You're drafting those individuals to build your team with. How far down the list do you have to get until you get to Kyle Shanahan? For me, he's fourth behind, in my opinion, the three best quarterbacks in the league, Joe Burrow, Patrick, or in order, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Joe Burrow. And then I'm picking Kyle Shanahan. That's how highly I think of Kyle Shanahan and all of the impact that he has on an NFL team. What do you think? 888-957-9570. Ben is in Oakland and wants to weigh in. What's up, Ben? You're on Willard and Dibs, but Dibs and Grandy with you. What do you got?
Let's see. I thought we were doing fade the Dibbers, not fade the Shanahan. Dibs, name me another season where a coach achieved more with less. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, that's a subjective question. So if I gave you an answer, it would be an opinion. Unlike Fade the Dibber, where I went 4-2 last weekend.
aren't you paid to give your opinion? Seems like you're running away from the question.
I'm not, but you're asking me to name another season, and I'd have to pick through all of the other injuries. And honestly, right now, they've made it to the final eight. Now, if they go on to win the Super Bowl, yeah, we can start using superlatives about what an amazing season this was. And I do think it's a little short-sighted, Ben, to give all the credit to just Kyle Shanahan when the defensive coordinator upgrade is profound.
Yeah, I definitely agree that Sala helped a lot. But what we're doing is absolutely amazing, and it's all about belief. And I think a lot of the belief comes from the head coach. And if you look at last year, if Bell doesn't drop that pass, if Moody doesn't miss that kick, it changes the whole psychology of the entire team. So if you're trying to say, well, he wasn't able to do it last year, every year is different. The ball bounces differently every way. Two or three plays last year, and we would have been right in it. Oh, I saw you at Safeway the other day. I run into you all the time. In real life, you're like super nice. Why are you so snarky on air?
Because I'm paid to give my opinion. Ben, I believe that those were your words. So I could just be here in the good Dib lollipop, but we're not doing that here. We're going to have edge and opinion, and I get what you're saying.
Thanks, Ben.
Ben, you're not wrong, and I think that the most underrated part of Shanahan's coaching tenure is exactly what Ben was just saying, and it's, you know, the effort that the guys give, it's the culture, it's his genuine nature with his players where he's a straight shooter. He's not a BS guy. He's not a rah-rah guy. And his players play for him. And the other thing that I've been mentioning is the coaches want to come here and coach for him. And the Shanahan coaching tree, while they don't always go out and get head coaching jobs and stick and win, although D'Amico Ryans is off to a nice little start there.
Man, that defense.
People want to coach with Shanahan because he lets them do their thing. The story he told about Clay Kubiak saying, and he reiterated it today with the trick play where, you know, he and Clay talk about every single play and he empowers his young assistant to be creative. And as a result, Clay Kubiak is going to go out there and get an offensive coordinator job here.
Yeah, and the point that Ben made is also the point that a few people are making on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line, and you can join the convo 888-957-9570. Multiple 650 numbers chiming in. Sala and Shanahan have to come in a package deal, and then I'd consider that duo being a top 10 pick. A different 650 number wrote, don't think they would be where they are without Sala, and that's absolutely right. And Shanahan hiring Sala, like, he doesn't get a ton of credit for that because that was a no-brainer. Like, absolutely, you go and hire Robert Sala. But Robert Saleh first got a defensive coordinator job by working under Kyle Shanahan and working his way up. So, like, there is, of course, some relationship between Shanahan and Saleh that Shanahan deserves some credit for. Wherever Saleh goes, and if he's successful or not, he will be part of the Shanahan tree. Him hiring him back for this year was like a no-duh decision. Like, absolutely, you do that if you have the opportunity, right, especially after his experiences with Wilkes and Sorensen. But
I mean, Wilkes, they had a good defense. It just didn't, I don't think that it
They didn't was, see eye to eye.
No, they didn't.
And Shanahan, like, this is by no means me saying Shanahan's perfect. Like, I think we probably talked about this on this show and off the air. When they hired Steve Wilkes, it frankly, to me, didn't make a whole lot of sense because Shanahan said priority number one for that DC was to find someone who has run their system and wants to run their system. And Steve Wilkes had never run their system, and it was kind of like putting a square peg into a round hole.
Right.
So Shanahan has made a lot of mistakes. The caller Ben brought up some of those mistakes. He said, well, if Jake Moody just made a kick, they would have been a whole lot better last year. And that's true, but who drafted Jake Moody?
Exactly.
And who kept him around for as long as he did?
And you drafted Trey Lance, and I don't want to re-adjudicate the draft, but interesting what you say about Saleh. For Shanahan, it is a no-brainer. He's been here. He's been successful here. You know him well. The thing that impresses me is for Saleh, it maybe wasn't a complete no-brainer, but he wanted to be with Shanahan, so the job is offered. He takes the job. That, to me, speaks very well of Shanahan, where not that Saleh had his pick of defensive coordinator jobs, but he was in Green Bay with LaFleur, and he maybe could have shopped around or gone to college and been a head coach, or he has options. He's a good football guy, and yet he had this chance, and it might be just this year. It might be 2 years. Who knows? But he jumped at it, and that says a lot about Kyle.
Absolutely. It does. And they probably both, you know, came to the agreement that he'd return as DC, knowing that if he was going to leave and become a head coach again soon, if it wasn't this offseason, it would probably be next. It seems like it's going to be this offseason, although there's quietly a lot of really good candidates out there for a head coach. For a head coach opening right now, there are, of course, a ton of jobs open, so we'll see how it all plays out. I would venture to guess that Saleh is going to get another job, but we shall see. I also think, like, in the NFL, Dibs, there is, and maybe we could ask Mark Schlereth this, and he's coming up in about 10 minutes here on Willard and Dibs. Dibs and Grandy with you in for Willard. I think the NFL, I don't know, you and I were talking about this off the air. The NFL is a sport, and it's a league where I think coaching has the biggest impact. And, you know, of course, a baseball manager can have a big impact. Their gut decisions, those 50-50 calls on should I pinch hit, you know, should I bring this lefty in out of the pen, like those things are all very tangible, easy to tell the difference that a coach makes, a manager makes. For basketball, you know, we blame Steve Kerr for so much. Like, he obviously has a big impact, but I don't think you can feel play in and play out the impact that a good NFL coach can have on a game, on a season, more than in this sport. I feel like the head coaching impact in the NFL is so much more than probably any other sport, at least major North American sport that we watch.
It's so different, and if you think about an NFL team, Shanahan heading into this game on Saturday, well, you've got to come up with a game plan with Clay Kubiak and your staff. Then you've got to teach that to the players, and they already have run these plays a lot, but you're going to let them know what we're really focused on. You got to check in with special teams and the defense. You got to coach the coaches. You got to make sure with the doctors that the guys who are getting healthy are going to be available. And then by the time you get up there, then you have to go out there and execute a game plan with a 40-second play clock over and over and over, scrutinized to the hilt in every single play. And yeah, like Ben was saying, Ronnie Bell doesn't catch the ball on a wide open throw and you lose. And even in this last game against Philly, and you'll probably know this, but on the punt, did that hit the Niner helmet? When the Niners punt and it bounced off somebody's helmet and then Sky Moore scrambled over and recovered it?
That was weird because none of the Eagles reacted like it was a muff. So I just thought it was off of an Eagle.
Yeah, Sky Moore ran after it like he wasn't scared. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, which I guess if it's 50-50, you might as well go after it.
Right.
Better to be safe than sorry.
But. And the throw from Juwan Jennings, if he airs that out two more yards and it's incomplete, the game turns, even though the play call was genius and the spot and everything. So, yes, in football, the coach has so much more of an impact. Basketball, to me, it's almost more about all the time that you don't have the game. like managing 15 egos and playing, you know, doling out playing time and, you know, trying to deal with a small, small group and keep them, you know, all kind of tugging on the same rope.
Unified,
and,
yeah.
In baseball, it's a little bit more like, you know, the spreadsheet and, you know, basically situations and analytics. But at the same time, you also have to, you know, kind of manage guys and make sure that everyone's getting enough playing time and, you know, trying to keep that clubhouse culture alive.
Yeah, like in baseball, feels like of late with the analytics movement, the impact of a manager has significantly decreased within the last like 10 or 15 years.
It has, it
absolutely
but
feels that
as
way.
As we saw with Gabe Kapler, where if you just go straight by the spreadsheet, you're going to alienate guys. And if you don't have that human touch, then, you know, certain players are not going to feel as comfortable when they're out there just because, oh boy, here comes a lefty and I'm left-handed. So now I got to look over my shoulder because I'm going to get pinch hit for even though I have two hits already.
Yeah, but you're right about like an NFL or an NBA coach. Like Steve Kerr, you ask him how many times he calls a play over the course of in a game. How many times he calls a play. He says, we're running this action on this play. It's not all that often. Like they're kind of just freelancing out there often. Like out of a timeout, they're running an inbounds play under their basket, and Steve Kerr is very good at that. And you know, if there is like free throws, they'll call something and they'll run their split action or whatever it is. But it's been so ingrained in them, they kind of just run that naturally anyway. You're right. The NBA coach's impact, I think, is more felt off the court, but an NFL coach's impact is felt off the field, but then also on every single play that's called. And for Shanahan's case, every single offensive play that's called, because he's the one in charge of that. And if he doesn't find the right moment to call the sky bang reverse pass or whatever
look
it was,
you, yeah,
then he could have identified that as being an option correctly. He could have practiced it well and inputted it into the system throughout the week leading up to the game. But if he just calls it at the wrong time, all that's for naught. Like, there's so many things that have to go right for the coach to have that positive impact, and that plays a great example of it.
And I think that one thing that we lose sight of in our business and as fans is just how many coaches the Niners have. And if you are Kyle Shanahan and you're open to input, then you get input from a lot of other smart people, and you have the wherewithal to take input and maybe change your mind. And I'm thinking about that second quarter timeout when they're going to go for it on fourth and two. And maybe they had like a, you know, show of hands, who thinks we should kick? I don't even know how that process went, but they used a timeout, decided to kick the field goal, and ultimately that led to a win.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think Kyle Shanahan, specifically this year, is having as big of an impact on any team in the league, and any person in the league, maybe other than a Josh Allen, or the best individual players of this entire season. Kyle Shanahan this year has been as valuable as just about any other individual in the entire NFL, and I don't think you can really argue about that this year, given everything the Niners have been through. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Coming up next, Mark Schlereth. He joins us next. We'll ask him about everything related to Niners and Eagles, plus look ahead to the Seahawks matchup coming up on Saturday. Plus, I think you're going to want to hear what Schlereth has to say about the Shanahan conversation. We'll do that coming up next. Again, brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. It's Willard and Dibs. Dibs and Grandy with you on 95.7 The Game.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.